Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless. Welcome to the roundtable of Sports City. I done took off my blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, Kitchen Timeless is alive. Let's go. Number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked in with the Sports City Chefs. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs, dead in the kitchen, man. And got a couple of topics I want to throw out in here before we get through the 60 minutes, man. A couple of funny topics, a couple of serious topics. But without any further ado, let me allow my brother and my chef for the evening with me at the round table at this given time. Calling from the 203 area code, Just Blaze, a.k.a. Justin, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
What's up, TP? I'm just, you know, couldn't wait to get back on the show, get back in the air, interested to hear what you want to talk about. Pretty sure it's something crazy, but we'll see.
Well, one of the topics I have is about one of your teams, and it's not the Niners, and it's not the Lakers. It is your Braves, but we'll dig into that, man. We got a couple of topics, man. First topic I do want to get out of the way, man, is an eye raiser to me, and I wonder how you feel too, you know, about this. Now, you know, a lot of, and including myself, and this was actually the beginning of last year. Last year in August, I said Tom Brady will not win another Super Bowl, and he almost shut me up. And last year they got that close to winning a Super Bowl, the Giants took care of business and won that game. Now, It was real hard for me to think that they lose Chad Johnson, who didn't really do work with that team. You can't really see too many pieces panning out. It's looking like they're going to close the door on Wes Welker's career coming up shortly. They ended up inking Demps, the speedster out of Florida, the guy that just was in the Olympics also and placed with a silver medal. But the guy has wheels. This guy has 4.2 caliber speed, and he's a part of that crazy wide receiver core with, you know, Wes, Gronkowski, Hernandez. I mean, what are your thoughts on Brady with another target, let alone a guy that has wheels of steel and could be a big-time threat throughout this season, especially with the corners of, you know, the Jets, for instance, dealing with Revis and Cromartie?
Well, it's not a big deal. I don't think that move was made. He's not going to be a factor on the wide receiver core. He never was much of a receiver at Florida. He's not a receiving threat. They signed him to be a return specialist, and that's what he's going to be able, that's what he's going to attribute to them this season or going forward. He's a guy that can, like you said, he has world-class speed. He's super fast. He was a running back in college. He definitely has that type of speed, but he's not going to be a threat to see the field on offense. I mean, unless they put him in the backfield, you know, Bill Belichick, that's something that he does crazy stuff, but he was definitely signed, from all the indications that I've got, was just to be a return specialist. So he's going to give them another weapon on their special teams that they didn't have, because all their return guys were just pretty much shorthand guys, not guys that could really take one to the house, and he could take it to the house. So that gives them the advantage in the special teams if he's able to come back to football and contribute, because a year off might, you know, do some damage to his time. But he definitely is a threat on some teams because of his speed, but you won't see him on the offensive side of the field.
I think I disagree. I'm looking at this like this. If he ran the ball in Florida, I don't think that he's going to be a guy that's going to be running the ball in New England. I know that you said that he's out there for, like, special team situations, which is true. But I think that they'll try and work in some packages where they'll have screen set up for him, or you know, Wes and him on one side, and Wes taking a lot of attention away from him, you know, dealing with the middle of the field. So I think there will be packages for him to go out there and receive the ball and move chains, but if he's moving the chains, he's getting to the house. I mean, if he has one move on one player, that, you know, it's going to be a track meet, and it's going to be hard for a lot of people to keep up with him. But, you know, they got a lot of people in their receiving corps, a lot of specialty players that can go out and make plays. And I'm just looking at it like, because I think he's another player that can do damage and another toy for Brady to use and facilitate with in a season where some people, and I'm not saying this, but I'm saying that some people actually think the Patriots could run the table. Now, if it's already, if their schedule looks favorable for them to do damage, and let's just say, to be fair with credit, if these guys have a 12 to 11 win season, you know, give or take, if this guy is just a special team player or if he's out there for special teams and makes a difference on the offensive side of the ball, this has to be a question mark for a lot of defenses and defensive coordinators alike.
Well, if they decide to use him on offense, he might make a play. You know, he might be dangerous. He could be he's more of like a Sproles type guy, but he's never been a part of an offense as far as being, you know, an impact. You know, he's not that type of guy. They already came out and said they signed him specifically for special teams. So I don't think he's gonna be a part of the offense like you think he is. Don't be surprised if you don't see him there at all. But I'm just saying. I mean, the sign was, it was cute. It was not, you know, it's good to have some speed back there. But I don't think it changed anything about the Patriots. They are what they are. They're gonna do what they're gonna do. I don't think it's gonna make them better or make them worse. It's just a move that they decided to make because he has that type of speed, and they don't have that type of speed in the return game. So that's what that was all about.
Okay, well, let's stay in the AFC East. I'm not going to move too far away from the New England Patriots, but I'm going to go against one of their rivals with the Miami Dolphins, actually coming out and stating that Tannehill actually will get the start in his upcoming game. What are your thoughts on Tannehill? Do you think he's ready, or do you think they should actually go with Moore or wait for Devlin? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, this is a guy that they spent the pick on, and I wasn't too high on it. He's a little too raw to throw out there just yet. So I think this is the guy you want to develop more. He doesn't have all. He's not a quarterback that is NFL ready right now. So I think them throwing him out there to the Wolves right now in the starting role. Well, even if it's just for the night, it's basically their credit. What they think of Matt Moore is discredits what they think of him. And I think they're trying to work him into the system faster, because I think they think this is going to be a down year anyway. So I think they're trying to get him out there as soon as possible and try to get him NFL ready. Even though it might look ugly early, he's just not ready. But their thought is to get him out there early, try to do everybody's loving what Dalton and Cam Newton and those guys, Sam Bradford, those guys were able to just come in and play, and they look like NFL quarterbacks. So they're hoping they can get him ready. And because Matt Moore is not a guy that you want to, you know, turn your franchise over to, so I think they're just trying to move forward and try to hurry up and speed up the process, rather than letting him sit behind a clipboard and learn. So I think it's a mistake, because I don't think he's ready yet, and I don't think it was a good pick for them. But I think they're just desperate, and they're trying to look for somebody to save the Dolphins. They haven't had a franchise quarterback since Dan Marino, so they're trying to make something happen.
And I think that they're just trying to get him warm towards the first team. I don't know if he'll actually get the start in the season, but this is, you know, a big statement toward Matt Moore, that if he doesn't get his act in gear, they don't mind by putting Tannehill in there and letting him run with the team as much as possible and see how much they can get out of him. They already cut Chad Johnson, who I actually have as another topic later on in the show, but the one thing about Tannehill with this start right here is they're going up against the Carolina Panthers team, who, let's be real, last year their defense wasn't too great. They were one of the worst teams in run defense and pass defense also. So this is something that I think Tannehill could come out, and I don't know if he's going to be extremely successful, but if he moves the chains and if he gets the first offense involved and they actually start to believe in him, you know, they start getting good qualms about him on the sidelines, that may spell some doom for Matt Moore, if you will, if this guy is productive as possible. But this is a work in progress. I do agree with you. I definitely think that this is something that they want to see before they actually just make a clear-cut decision. I really want to say before this week three coming up after this week, because that's where you initially see majority of the starters play up until halftime, possibly more, if they think that those guys need more repetitions out there on the field. But right now, I think this is a good little look for Tannehill, for him to actually get his feet wet, to be with, you know, the first team, to have, you know, a good line in front of him, some receivers that can go out there and make some plays, and a running back core that, you know, if these guys are playing well, you know, you never know what the Dolphins could put up there. But I'm kind of on the fence, though. I mean, I feel good because I want Tannehill to go out there and get the feel of the NFL game. But then again, just like you said, with Matt Moore, it's just causing too much tension out there. Matt Moore did decent with this Miami Dolphins team last year after the start that they had. He started putting wins together. And I don't know if they kind of turn their back on him already, but, you know, this is going to be an extreme quarterback competition coming down to the end.
But it's funny that you mentioned him going out with the first team. The Dolphins don't have first-team receivers. They don't have number one first-team caliber receivers on their team. So it's going to – I think Matt Moore was – he was going to fail whether or not he started or not. And I think Tannehill's going to fail whether or not they start or not. They don't have the offensive weapons to make plays. That's why it kind of makes me scratch my head on the cutting of, you know, who, but we'll talk about that later. But it's just the team doesn't have first team tier type wide receivers, so he's not going to look great in his first rookie start. It's just not going to happen. Even if he played the season, they don't have the weapons. They don't have guys that can get open and separate from the defense. It's going to be a problem for them. So I just feel bad for him or any quarterback that's thrown into the situation this year. They're not going to be a good team.
If it were up to me, I would go with Matt Moore. That's just me. I mean, I would, like you said, I would want Tannehill to kind of get his feel in the game and you know, learn a little more. But they're trying to get him to get that feel, so I kind of understand where they're coming from. But I don't want to go too far away from the Dolphins. We're going to stay right in Miami. I said I wanted to save it for later for the show, but just please kind of segue to it, and I don't think I could, you know, keep this pot on the stove for too long, so I'm going to throw it out there. Chad, formerly known as Ocho Cinco, back to Johnson, cut by the Miami Dolphins over his, you know, legal issue that he had with his wife at home, and only those two could know what happened in that driveway at his house. He got arrested or whatever, but he got cut. And just like Justin said, they don't really have that receiver core where you could just, well, say, you know, Devon Best is that guy. Like, he's going to be a burner all 16 games this season for the Dolphins. He will come out and have some plays. But they really don't have a sure-to, go-to guy looking at this receiving core. And Philbin actually went on the limb and said, you know what, I'd rather do without, you know, and keep moving with the team that we have here. A guy, you know, a system where these guys are buying into what I'm throwing out. No attitudes really around this roster. And then Chad was still stuck on that. Well, I'm going to tweet, be on Facebook, be in front of the media. I'm going to talk my junk as much as I want to. What are your thoughts on Chad Johnson, one, being cut by the Dolphins, and two, does he get another job in the NFL?
Well, I think the release of Chad Johnson says much more of he doesn't have much in the tank, in my opinion. Anytime you're a first-year head coach, you want to win. You want to make your mark in the NFL. You want to keep your job. You want to look good. You want to be the guy to make Chad Johnson turn him back into what everybody thought he was, what he was capable of being, or saw what he was before. And for you to cut a guy like Chad Johnson, who was clearly your number one receiver by default, means to me that they don't have a number two, they don't have a guy that's even close to him, even from what we've seen last year on their roster. So for them to release a guy like that says to me he wasn't going to help them anyway. So that's what that said to me, and I just it didn't make any sense to me, because you don't cut him before he's guilty or before you know what the situation is or plays out. So the fact that they did that lets me know that he just wasn't going to give them much. And that's and you know, if you watch the preseason game, he dropped the wide open slant. They would have got him a first down. He was wide open. He drops the ball, and he's trying to make it. You see him when he goes to the sideline. He's making excuses like something was in his eyes or something like that. But when you make those type of plays and you run your mouth as much as him, you have to make plays. You have to get whenever you get an opportunity, you have to make the play. And he didn't do it, and I think that he wasn't impressive enough for them to keep him, because if this was Calvin Johnson or let's be real, if this was Darius Fitzgerald or any of the guys that you know are going to be your number one guy and that you know that other teams will salivate for, you're not going to cut him over him getting arrested for the first time in his career, pretty much. He was arrested prior in college, but that's when you were young and dumb. He went through a whole NFL career and never got in trouble. So you're not going to cut a guy who never got in trouble unless he's not going to help your team. That's my only thing. You're going to get rid of the problems before they get going because you don't feel like there's much left. And that's why I think that Calvin Johnson got the short end of the stick. I don't think it was right, but that's where the Dolphins were headed. That's where the decision came from. I just think it was wrong. I hope he gets another chance. I think he's going to have to clear his legal issue first before there is a chance for him. The Cowboys already came out and said they don't want him because he would have been a good fit there, but they came out and said they don't want him. So it just says a lot. It spells bad news for Chad, because anytime you can't get it going with Tom Brady, then it's going to be hard for other teams to say, look, if it can't work for you, if you can't get numbers with Tom Brady, why do we need him? So it's just going to be tough, but I hope he gets another opportunity.
And it is Chad Johnson, not Calvin Johnson. The question that I asked you, though, do you think he gets another job in the NFL?
No, that's what I just said. I said Chad is not going to get, unless he's got to figure out his legal issue. He's not going to get another job. And I was talking about Calvin Johnson as far as he's not Calvin Johnson. I didn't call him Calvin. If he was Calvin, he would have never been cut. But I don't think, unless his legal issue is going to be clear, which is not going to be clear right away, because they're already talking about divorce. She's going to follow up she's pressing charges. She's going to follow up with it, so they're going to get divorced. So this is going to get ugly. So he has to figure that out first before he even talks about getting back on the field. Once that's figured out, we'll know if he'll get another job or get another opportunity. But that's what I think he has to do first, get that situation squared out. And maybe somebody will be hard pressed to do it. But if T.O. had a tough time trying to get a job, I don't know about Chad.
And do you think they actually jumped the gun too early? I do agree with you, because this is his first time having any legal trouble.
Yeah.
Do you think they jumped the gun too soon to get rid of him? And I'm not trying to sit up here and bark back for Chad's job or whatever, because he's a grown man and he makes his own decisions, so you should be able to use right judgment or better judgment in that spectrum, especially with your wife. But, there's been so many players, in every sport, whether it's basketball, football, or baseball, that that have been arrested that still had an opportunity with their given team to come back out and perform. I mean, it was literally as soon as he got home from, being locked down, they brought him into the office and they had it fresh on for a hard knock to let him know that it is better to see both sides part. I mean, do you think that the Dolphins organization jumped the gun too soon, or do you think this was the right call at the right time?
I'm glad you brought that up, because, like I just said, I think they did it too soon. And the reason why they did it so soon is, and they jumped the gun is, which I think is wrong, is because he's not the same Chad Johnson. He's not the guy that's going to be effective on the field. And they knew this going already. So they said, you know what, he's not the guy that's going to help us, but let's just cut our ties now and not worry about it. And I think that's why they jumped the gun so fast. And what I didn't like, since you brought it up, was the fact that they had it on Hard Knocks. This is a guy that has, 12 years into the league or 10, 12 years into the league. He's a veteran. This is a guy that deserves a lot more respect than to get cut on national TV. And he just, you've seen the pain in his eyes. It hurt him. And I think it was wrong. But this is one cut. See, usually in Hard Knocks, they cut guys that are just, coming into the league and didn't do so much for these. This guy did a lot for the NFL. He did a lot for that one, when the time when everybody loved the celebration dances in the end zone, this was a guy that did a lot for the NFL and made the NFL, relevant, fun to watch. And, now they call it the no fun league because they took all the celebrations away. But this is a guy that had a lot of respect around the league. He had a lot of respect. check. A lot of his teammates came out and said it wasn't right, and they should have waited it out, you know, which what we all think. But the fact that they did it on national television, I think, was very, very disrespectful and wrong. I think they should have handled it a different way. I didn't like it at all because he had no idea it was going to happen. I mean, he had an idea, but he didn't know whether or not he was going to be cut or not. If it was, it'd be different if they cut him already and they told him, and then, you know, they showed it on the air, but they just pretty much showed the feed of how he got cut, and I didn't like it at all. I think it was wrong.
And I do agree. I think that they jumped the gun. But me personally, I threw this around last night. I don't think he gets another job in the NFL. The only way he gets a job in the NFL is if he goes to a team that needs a receiver right now that's not playoff relevant. The only team that I could think of that he can go to right now or within a year's time if he actually takes time off, and if they're a playoff relevant team, could be the New York Jets. The Jets do need another receiver outside of D'Antonio Holmes, and you already got Cromartie saying that he's the second best receiver on the team. Well, if Chad could go out there and work with the chemistry of Sanchez and then get a feel, that may be a possibility. But outside of that, I was thinking, you know, the Browns, you had the Vikings. Like those are teams that I'm not looking at him going to if they're going to – not to say they're wasting his – he's wasting his time being there, but that's probably the main thing that he's waiting for is to be on a championship-caliber team. He just came from – the New England Patriots, where he was on the biggest stage, and he didn't do anything on that team. So it's not like he's going to take a step backwards. There's no need or no time to take a step backwards in your NFL career.
Well, can I touch on that real quick? When you said the Jets, I just, you know, it would be a nice fit for him to go there, and I thought the same thing for T.O., but I don't think the Jets are able to take or willing and can handle the type of criticism they'll take if they pick up another headache and another story that would have the New York media going crazy. You know, you already have the Tebow situation. And if you bring on Chad Johnson, or if you have brought on Terrell Owens, it would have been a madhouse, and they just can't afford that type of PR right now. So I just don't see it happening because of that reason right there. They do need him. It's a definite need, but they want to go somewhere where they don't take a big media hit. They don't make a big media frenzy, and this will be too much for them to withstand. It'll be a jungle. It'll be a circus in New York if he comes there. It'll just be with the whole case going on right now. I don't see it happening, and they need him, but I don't see it happening at all.
Yeah, but I don't think it would hurt. It's just like you said, they need him. I mean, where do they go outside of the questionable situation with D'Antonio fighting off injuries, and they got rid of Plaxico also, too. I mean, they have names in their receiving corps. They just picked up Hill from Georgia Tech, but I don't really think that these guys come out the gate and pose threats to secondaries. Yes, everybody that plays a receiver position can go out there and make plays, but I just don't think that these guys are, you know, playoff caliber receivers or to be in cahoots and being in a mission with the New England Patriots. It still looks like the Patriots have their thumb on the AFC East, and there was actually something that was thrown out there yesterday on the show that when the Jets finally win the division is when Tom Brady retires. Do you agree with that or disagree?
What was that mentioned?
It was mentioned that the Jets will not win the division until Tom Brady retires. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I think that's too early to agree. I mean, it's easy to say that this year they're not going to go to the playoffs, but anything could happen from a year-to-year basis, so I can't agree on that. They have enough talent on defense to do it. It's whether or not they're going to make the moves on offense to do it. And, you know, do the Jets have a chance to win the division this year? A slight chance, but I don't think it's going to happen, but I just can't say it's never going to happen until he retires. That's easy to say because we only got one season to go right now. But 3 years from now, we could all eat our crow for saying that. So I can't say that and mean it. So I think it's not feasible to make that prediction. Anything could happen.
And Tom Brady actually came out and said he wants to play for a long time. So just imagine if Brady were to sit up there and play till he, you know, put some Brett Favre numbers up, like till he was 41 or 42 years old. Brady's what, 35 right now. So if he played another 6 years, he'd be in that conversation of, you know, the years of what Brett Favre put up. So, it'd be interesting enough to see if Sanchez and Tebow could just sit there and just watch Brady continue to dominate the division year after year. I mean, it is a far reach to say that these guys wouldn't put up a AFC East championship before Brady leaves, but if Brady keeps any type of weapons, and especially if they hang on to a guy like Gronkowski, it'd be very hard to go against what the Patriots put out there year after year, and with the genius being on that sideline and Belichick also. Well,
yeah,
throwing out a position that I know. Go ahead, Justin.
What I was going to say is, one thing I will be bold enough to say, I think when Tom Brady retires and it's all said and done, the Jets will have another starting quarterback on their roster that's not on their roster now.
So figure, I'm gonna give it a good window. So in a 3 to 6 year window, there will be another starter for the New York Jets, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Wow. Interesting enough. And a 3 year deal is what Sanchez had just signed for too. He got a 3 year $40 million contract. So if he doesn't impress that front office or say that again.
I didn't say he wouldn't be on the roster, but the starting quarterback for the Jets, when Tom Brady is done, is not on their roster right now.
But don't you think in like 3 years, Sanchez might be able to put it together and have his stronghold around the NFL, or do you think he'll just stay stagnant in his season of play, you know, season after season? Justin, did you hear the question? Okay, I think we might have lost Justin. Hopefully we get him back, but we do have another chef in the building. We got Mr. Controversy himself. Broth, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling fantastic, TP, man. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Throwing around your favorite football team in the NFL. And Justin actually threw out there. We got Justin back on the line. So, Justin, sit tight. I'm going to come back to you after. Justin actually threw out there. He didn't say that the guys would be gone and being Sanchez or Tebow, but, and I try to be fair in saying in a 3 to 6 year window that Brady possibly could be out of the game. I actually say six, or, you know, just to say that he could be in the mention of Brett Favre-like years in the 41, 42 years of living and being in the NFL. Justin actually threw out there and said that he thinks that there will be another starter within that window of 3 to 6 years. Do you think there'd be another starter for the Jets, or do they hang on to Sanchez and think that he actually keeps his team under his thumb, or Tim Tebow being the guy?
Well, I honestly believe that that he's right. I mean, I honestly don't think that Tebow and or Sanchez will be the starter in 2 years, to be completely honest with you. Let alone three. I think that this is going to be the year, the make or break year for Mark Sanchez. If they don't have a winning record by week six this year, he's going to probably be sitting the bench, and then they're going to go with the Tebow experiment, which will fail. And I the more I watch him actually playing the game, the more I'm fairly sure he's going to fail. We don't know if Greg McElroy might come in and do the kid out of Alabama that they drafted a few years ago. But outside of that, I don't see a quarterback on this roster, to be completely honest with you. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they failed enough this year to get a Matt Barkley, perhaps. Now he's not an Andrew Luck or anything, but he's much better than any of the quarterbacks, even two of the quarterbacks put together that are currently on the Jets roster. So to be completely honest, there's a real possibility that we don't see Sanchez or Tebow being that starter.
You know, I know a lot of people actually like McElroy being one of the guys in the in the stable for their quarterback depth chart, if you will, for the New York Jets. I actually like him too, but I don't know if he's actually going to be the guy to be the starter for this roster, but we'll have to see how that does end up panning out for the New York Jets. But Justin, before I do get away from the Jets, did you want to add anything to it, towards that? Or?
Well, I wanted to say this. I think the Jets should stay away from any USC quarterbacks. just stay away from that. That experiment has failed. And McElroy Jets should not even be considering him to play. You know, for them to go after Tebow says a lot that he's not. He's just not going to be the guy. He's going to be a career backup. You could already tell. But like I said, I think the quarterback of their future, when Tom Brady's done, is not on their roster now. And I don't think, and I'm not disrespecting Tebow. I like Tebow. I just don't think that this is the right fit for him. I actually want him to leave and go somewhere else, but the Jets will probably not give him a chance until it's too late. And for him to make that magic, that magic is not going to be able to happen in this division because they have the Patriots in this division. So it's not going to be able to happen in this division. He needs to get far away from this New York team.
He needs to get far away from the quarterback position. That's what he needs to get himself far away from. I mean, to be completely and utterly honest, he should be something else. He should be a running back. He would run a great Wildcat. And that's what the Jets have basically said he's going to be doing. I mean, LT, meaning LaDainian Tomlinson, could throw better than Tim Tebow, and he was playing running back too. So, I mean, come on. We need to keep Tebow's ability is realistic here. This guy's not a thrower. And the only time he is a thrower is when he throws deep bombs that the wide receiver runs under. And he doesn't have that speedster. And, Stephen Hill, maybe, if he can get himself on the field. But outside of that, they don't have that speedster that's going to be able to run under the ball and make the catch. They don't have a Randy Moss-type guy that will work really well with a Tim Tebow.
I'm not going to
say
anything
like that. Well, being as a major, both of you don't believe in both of these quarterbacks, we'll just have to wait and see that. That's something for the future. I do want to go to a position that Justin knows about pretty well on this football field, being a wide receiver position. And this is actually a receiver that Broth actually spoke about on a show or two ago about Dwayne Bowe. This guy actually signed his tender for 1 year with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll come to you first, bro. Do you think this actually goes outside of this one-year deal, or do you think the Chiefs will cut their ties with Dwayne Bowe after this season?
It seems to me that they're probably going to cut ties. But that's all going to really – I mean, right now, Jonathan Baldwin's looking really good. He looks great in camp. He's making spectacular catches. And they just don't need two of the same guy. And essentially, they are the same. They are essentially – very similar receiver. So it's going to really depend on how well Baldwin does in this year. If he plays out of his mind and plays particularly well, then we're going to see Dwayne Bowe go somewhere else. But if Dwayne Bowe is still the focal point of this offense and Baldwin isn't able to get open or anything like that, then they'll be forced to stick around with Dwayne Bowe.
And me personally, as bad as I want to side with you, I really think that Dwayne Bowe will stay there. I until he really starts to decline in his game. He's a possession receiver. Baldwin has the ability to, you know, take the top off the defense. He plays that deep route type of receiver. But if they could turn Baldwin into a possession receiver, then I can see them getting rid of Dwayne Bowe. But that's something that has to pan out, and seeing if Castle's comfortable, you know, on a game-by-game basis with Baldwin. Baldwin only had one season to play in this Kansas City organization. But, Justin, how about you? What do you think about, outside of Dwayne Bowe signing this one-year tender with the Kansas City Chiefs, do you think he actually returns after this season, or do you think they'll actually cut ties and he'll end up somewhere else after this season?
Well, I was going to – you took the words right out of my mouth. They're not the same receiver. Baldwin is a deep threat. He's a deep receiving threat, and that's pretty much all you're going to get out of him. He's not going to run the slants and the digs like a Dwayne Bowe can do. Dwayne Bowe has either intermediate speed. He has decent speed. He can go up and get the ball, but he does not have that deep threat ability like Baldwin does. So when you have a guy like Baldwin – and then you have a guy like Bowe who can eat up the middle of the field and make plays in the middle of the field and make you miss. I think you want to keep both guys. The problem is, I think Dwayne Bowe has a little bit of bad relationship with the Chiefs. And I'm not exactly sure on how his future looks, but I know one thing. If he lights it up this year and the Chiefs aren't doing as well as I think they're going to do, I think they'll sign him for a couple more years. It's definitely not a good idea to cut him. I'm not sold on Baldwin being able to take the load by itself. I like the tandem when they're both on the field. This team is going to be and then you have the fact that they're going to have a lot of defenses with the eight man and the box on them. I like what this team has the ability to do. So I think they should sign him for at least three more years.
I wouldn't say that Baldwin couldn't go underneath and make those catches. It's not what he's asked to do right now, but I'm pretty sure that he'd be able to do it if he was asked to be the number one quarterback. I mean, the number one wideout.
He didn't do it in college. It's not what he does.
He wasn't asked to do it in college. If you got a guy who's gonna be able to run fast down the field and win jump ball situations against 5'9" cornerbacks, are you gonna ask him to run underneath? No, you're not. You're gonna say, all right, go deep and keep on going deep, and we'll keep on hitting you.
But my thing is, you don't. But he's not gonna be effective if you don't have anybody underneath that can eat up the defense. They can just double triple team him. Like Randy Moss was taken out of games
They've got Tony Mockey for that. Tony Mockey, the tight end. The tight end can catch underneath. Nice and easy.
Come on.
Tony Mockey is a damn good tight end.
He's a good tight end. He's not going to take off coverage from Baldwin if Baldwin is lighting it up.
And then they'll get those underneath yards. That's the point, right? Baldwin will take the double team, and Milwaukee will get a whole bunch of yards out of it.
So you're telling me you'd rather have one deep threat receiver, and if
one. No, I'm saying no.
Hold on.
What I'm saying is that they may not be able to afford him. They've got contracts coming up. It's not just one guy coming up. And they'd much rather keep those defensive players than keep two wide receivers when they can draft. You can always find wide receivers in the draft. The wide receivers are always the deepest position. Outside of running back, you can find more wide receivers that are fifth-round picks, sixth-round picks, seventh-round picks than you can any other position, like I said, outside of the running back position. It's the smorgasbord. You can get that. It's not a huge problem to hell. Dwayne Bowe was a third round pick, if I remember correctly, second or third round pick. I don't think he was a first round guy. So they can always find a wide receiver if they need one that will come a lot cheaper than Dwayne Bowe if the cap is an issue.
But you're going to throw all your eggs in Baldwin's basket when you don't know what he's capable of doing yet.
Well, that's what I said. We find out what he's doing this year. That's what we're going to find out. What is he going to be capable of this year? And if he's completely terrorizing that number two corner, then we'll see what he can do against the number ones.
Well, we know what Bo can do with the number one. That's my point.
That's what I'm saying. And looking at their receiver corps right now, bro, I understand that you're saying that they can go into the draft and pick up a receiver. But looking at the receiver corps right now, I mean, they have Baldwin. They got Preston. They got the young rookie out of Michigan, Hemingway, and has a great deal of speed. But outside of that, I mean, you're big on Wiley. But outside of those receivers, I mean, I don't really find another big play receiver that they could count on. None of these guys have actually been, you know, going through being the guy. You know what I'm saying?
How many big play receivers do you need? You need one. You need one guy. You need one.
You need one.
Good.
But out of all
you
the
need...
names that I mentioned, which one is a big play receiver? Name one that
Baldwin.
You could go to. Who?
Jonathan Baldwin's the guy. Jonathan Baldwin can be the guy. He's been looking fantastic, and everything that he's done for this entire year. And that's what I'm saying. If Baldwin does well, then they will cut ties with Dwayne Bowe. If Baldwin falls on his face this year,
Dwayne Bowe is not a big play receiver. I mean, he is, but he does everything. So why would you cut him for one of the guys you named that he just named?
It's because of money. That's the point.
So who are you
going to
bring in?
If they're, if there is no salary, they'll get a guy in the draft or they will pick somebody up. Or Steve Breston will take a number two. It's not that crazy of an idea to think that Steve Breston could be a number two wide receiver. He was one in Arizona right across from Larry Fitzgerald.
When he was in Arizona, that's when Antoine Bolden was there. And when Baldwin actually gets the attention of having that big play capability, Bo was on the field. Just imagine him being doubled or tripled or being bracketed. He's going to have to make those plays happen. Like, that's a lot to ask for. This is his second year now, but that's going to be a lot to ask for out of a three-year receiver who doesn't really have a short to go-to mentor to talk to outside of a Terrence Copper. Like his fans, they need to concentrate on what they have right now. Good thing that they did sign Dwayne Bowe right now, because if he can come out and show flashes, if he can go out there and I don't really want to go out there and say that he's going to have over 11 touchdowns in the season, but if he can put up a 9 to 10 touchdown season, there's no way that they get rid of him if he's that successful in the season this year and everybody on that roster stays healthy.
And I totally disagree with Frost in the standpoint where you need one. It's nice to have one, but you can't tell me if I can get three of them, I'm going to get three threats on the field. I don't want just one. I don't want the defense to be able to shove one. Oh, they're on one side of the field. I want you to be like, oh, shit, who do we cover? That's what I want. You look at the Falcons this year, watch what they're able to do with Roddy White and Julio Jones. And you look at the Giants and what they were able to do last year. You want multiple receiving threats. You want to have that ability. What do you think Fitzgerald called for Floyd to come to the Cardinals? Did he say, oh, go get me a little scat receiver to run in between? No, he didn't say that. He said, go get that big guy from Notre Dame that can run fast and jump with me. No, that's what I'm talking about. You want a big play receiver on both sides of that field. It's nice to have a slot guy with them. It's nice to have a guy with them if you can. But don't tell me you don't need only need one. No, that's if your whole team is ridiculous. Your defense is good, and your running game is ridiculous. So But Baldwin's not. I can see if they already had a superstar on Calvin Johnson. Okay, yeah. But Baldwin is a question mark right now. We know we're going to get with both. If everything else, as you say, is intact, which I agree with you, their defense and their running game is intact. That's why I'm keeping Bo, especially if they have a good year this year. Unless he wants ridiculous money, I'm keeping Bo. I'm going to keep him for 3 years because he's going to see how good this team is going to be. He might even say, look, I want to play here.
And, yeah, that's the whole point. That's what I'm saying. I don't think Bo's going to sit there and say, all right, I'll take merely top 10 wide receiver money. He's going to sit there and he's going to say, hey, look, I am a top five wide receiver, and I'm going to want top five wide receiver money. I'm going to want Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Greg Jennings type money. That's the kind of money I'm going to want coming into this contract. You don't think that's what he's going to ask for?
He can't do that unless he's putting up those numbers. And I don't see him putting up those numbers with all the weapons that they have. I think he's going to put up top five or top three wide receiver numbers. He's going to have to put up 12 to 15 touchdowns. And over 1,300 yards receiving. I don't think you're going to see that from him this year unless we see another injured rental here from the Chiefs. I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. He's a great receiver. He's one of my favorites. But I don't see it happening unless they have an injured rental year like they had last year. They got too much running game. They got some good weapons to throw the ball to. Like you said, he's coming back, but he's not even. They got another tight end as well.
Kevin Ball.
Kevin Ball, who actually started the last preseason. So they have weapons, but he's not going to put up those numbers and say, look, I want that type of money. You know it goes by numbers, too. You can't just say that.
I don't know. But let's put it this way. Can you name 10 other wide receivers better?
At the end of the year, I might. That's the problem.
You go with Johnson, you go with Jennings, you go with you might go with the other Johnson in Houston.
There's no need to do it now. Like I said, at the end of the year, I might be able to do it. Because if he's only putting up just over 1,007 touchdowns and 6 touchdowns, he's not going to have much of an argument. Then he's going to have to go get elsewhere, which he might be able to do. But I don't think the Chiefs, he'll be able to put up that argument if he doesn't have those type of numbers.
And that may be true, but I don't think that that's how players evaluate themselves. It's not like, hey, just look at my numbers. They also say, hey, look what I do. I take the pressure away from Jonathan. I take the pressure away from Tony Milwaukee. That's how it's not always the guy who has the superstar stats that gets paid like a superstar, and those are usually contracts that people look at like, what are they thinking? And that's what they're thinking, you know? That's how these guys get these contracts.
But if this is the Chief says that he's right, he'll get that money from them. But I definitely think he'll definitely get that type of money. Whatever money he wants, he'll probably be able to get, unless he has a horrible year into this year. Because he's definitely a receiver that a lot of teams would covet if he was a free agent. So he's attractable to teams. But I think the Chiefs know how good a receiver he is, so they're going to try to work with him, I believe.
And you could be right. I'm not going to lie. There's no saying that you're wrong at this point. It's going to really depend on a lot of things.
Okay, staying with the wide receiver position, because I definitely got to take that dish off the table, we're going to talk about a receiver that's in a division that me and Bronx know, and Justin knows a great deal about the receiver too, but Jennings is close to returning after his concussion situation that's been keeping him away from being a part of the team. Do you think he'll be back a step, or do you think he'll get his step, you know, together within a few runs with the team? What are your thoughts on Greg Jennings, Justin?
Well, let me tell you, I don't think he'll be back a step, but the luxury that the Packers do have is the fact they're very deep at wide receiver, and they got a guy that Aaron Rodgers loves to throw the ball to, and that's Jordy Nelson. So as long as Jordy Nelson is healthy, then he'll be able to ease his way back and need him to be. But that's the luxury about this offense. They don't need him to be the superstar. They just need him to, you know, just to take some pressure off the field, and he'll be able to come back into it. Concussion is not something that is going to affect a player like him. If it was an ankle or a knee injury, then I'd be worried. But because it's just a concussion, the only thing you're worried about is him getting hit again. So they don't have to, you know, really throw him the ball too much or get him heavily involved right away. Just get him ease his way back in there. They have enough talent. They can ease their way back into it, get it back into the flow. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be ready to go, and I think he's a player that they trust.
And, Broth, what do you think about Greg Jennings? Do you think this is a minor setback, or do you think this is something that the Packers need to be concerned with about his concussion issues? And if he does get hit again in his head area, do you think this is something that they need to be concerned about, sort of like what Detroit is worried about with Jarvis Best situation with concussions?
Well, Jennings, I don't think has a history of concussion, so that's not that big of an issue. And I think he's right. But the number one thing is Jennings is going to come back when the doctors say he's going to come back, and that's it. If the doctors say, hey, you're not ready yet, then guess what? Coach is going to say, hey, you're not ready yet, sit down, and that's all it's going to be. And when the doctors say, all right, he passed all these tests, he's ready to go, he's going to be ready to go, and they're going to start playing him. And if this does, you know, lingers into the regular season, or if he gets a headshot at the end of preseason and he goes down again, then this is a huge thing for the Packers. I mean, they've already lost one of their wide receivers to retirement, didn't they? They lost their number, I guess he was the number three guy that there since Jordy started moving up. But
Driver's still there.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he was retired.
No.
No, he just moved down. He moved down. What happened was he moved down in the depth chart. They moved him down. He's no longer the three. So that's the only thing.
Yeah, but I mean, still at this point, that wide receiver core is still pretty thin, even with Driver there. Driver's starting to get on the back of his career, and he's not ready to go. So if Jennings isn't there, then you're taking a guy who was a number two, number three last year, and making him the number one guy. That's a big responsibility to put on to Jordy Nelson. And who else you got? You got Jamichael Finley playing tight end. That's nice and everything.
They're very high on Cobb. That's why Driver moved down.
And Cobb's an interesting player. I'll give you that. But I just don't know. I don't think he can take the place of a Jory Nelson or a Greg Jennings. So if Jennings goes down again, this is going to really hurt them, I feel.
Yeah, I want to agree with MCP. It's not as serious as Donovan Best. Donovan Best had it. He had a problem with his concussions. This is it's nowhere near that.
No, but I understand, you know, that how many concussions Javid has went through. That's why it's such a severe situation. But the one thing about the concussions is that's something that the NFL is trying to slow up on, but they can't just because of the bigger, stronger, faster players in the league. And who's to say that you got defenses that don't go out there and try to tee off on this guy? Not to say, like, put the bounties out there like the Saints, but they are going to come and try to attack injuries to get those big-time players out of the game. And not to say, like, it's fair, but if they can get another weapon out of the cavalry of what Aaron Rodgers comes out there on the field with, they got a better shot at winning the game. Not to say that it's a solid or it's a shoe-in, but that is something that they do need to be focusing on and concentrate on, is that this guy has a, you know, one of their players may have a chink in their armor. And not to say that it's a big one, because it's not like you're just going to knock the stars into somebody's dream world, if you will, but, you know, for a guy of Greg Jennings' facets, you better try your every becking moment to try and get him out of the game. Well, we do have a little bit of time left. We have a little under 10 minutes left to the show. Like I said, I had a funny standpoint I wanted to throw around the kitchen and see how you guys felt about it. They are now suggesting players that get ejected from an NFL football game take online courses on how to, you know, stay within the lines of the code of conduct. Now, in the heat of the moment or in the battle of the game, we all love this sport. We're all fans of the sport. But if you get ejected, say perhaps somebody you get into a fight with or somebody's just being a heckler and you guys end up going at it, you actually have to take a course on how to be a fan, really? Justin, what are your thoughts on that? With like say if the Niners, and you probably will go to the game, the Niners play the Jets this year in New Jersey, and say you guys are up and somebody starts talking junk, you get into it with somebody. I don't want this to happen. I'm just saying, if you got ejected from MetLife, you would have to take online courses to probably attend MetLife again. Do you agree or disagree?
It's got to be a serious offense for me to agree to that. You get suspended. You get for the things I see people get ejected for, both think they should have to go to take a class for it. It has to be a serious thing, because I also think that people are getting drunk and they do bad things. So I think, you know, it's like when you're in the justice system, when you do bad things, you have to take a class or, you know, there's some type of rehabilitation thing. So this is one of the things that I think they can do, so people are not barred for life, because I think sometimes that's a little feisty. But if it's a minor issue, I don't agree with it. But if it's a major issue, I think that's what they should do.
And that's what I was going to look at, is like, how are you going to have these guys be responsible to take an online course where I don't even know what percentage of the number I could use, but I'm going to throw out a ballpark number. 70% of the people that are starting these fights or getting into a situation where they may possibly be ejected from the stadium, they're under the influence of alcohol. Like really? So you might as well just stop the beer being served and just count out a good, and I'm trying to throw out a ballpark number, a good $20,000 to $50,000 that you guys may pick up as a concession stand on beer sales alone. But that's what I was going to allude to. Justin took that right out of my mouth. What are your thoughts on this? It was funny to me, but until Justin brought that up, it really made me think of the money that's being pulled in by alcoholism. Fans that actually may get into an ordeal in the stadium and getting ejected will possibly have to take online courses to end up attending another game. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with it fully. I mean, and if I'm understanding you correctly, guys who get over rowdy and, you know, start pushing people around or start taking swings or doing whatever it takes to get yourselves ejected from the stadium, and while I question the efficacy of online courses, I still think it's better than nothing. I think it's better than nothing.
Bro.
I mean, yeah.
That's not the only reason why people get ejected, though. That's why I say they have to look at each situation.
Well, I mean, I've never been ejected from a stadium. I've never been with anybody who's been ejected from a stadium. So I honestly don't know what minor things it takes to get, what are the minorest things that it takes to get ejected from the stadium. But, I mean, for the most part, you're not getting ejected from the stadium for being there and cheering your team, or even trash talking. You don't get really ejected from the field. So you must have had to do something. You had to do something in order for yourself to get yourself ejected from the stadium. And I'm all for that, because hey, get the rowdy people out of the stands. Get the people who are causing all sorts of rockets out of the stands. It'll be a more enjoyable game for everybody.
And to look at the ejected fans at a game, just to be, you know, in the realm of this, in Philadelphia, they have a jail within Lincoln Financial. So, like, not only will they probably be going to court and trying to deal with what legal situation they have, if they're a season ticket holder, let's say, they'll have to go to court and deal with online courses on how to conduct themselves at a football game, and let alone Philly probably has the rowdiest and roughest fans in all of sports. So that's just something I did want to throw out there. It was a funny thing, but then, you know, once Justin threw out the alcohol point, it was like, now that's serious, because that could happen anywhere in any NFL. So it just made me concentrate that much more on what could be at hand here. And I know people don't want to lose their drinking abilities at these football games every Sunday.
Well, yeah, like, I wanted to allude to that real quick. Like I said, the alcohol is the main reason why people get ejected. And taking a course is not going to do anything from them doing it again, because if they only drink again, they can get right back in the same situation they were in before. Because when you're drinking, you're not thinking. So if they want to take away the ejection, they need alcohol. Simple as that.
Well, fair enough, fellas. We got 3 minutes left into the show. Broth, I want to get a close out before we get up out of here. Give me a plug on what we got cooking in the kitchen for this upcoming weekend.
Well, the Grand Chef starts right up tomorrow, noon Eastern Standard. We'll be talking NFC North. That's our division. We'll be breaking it down top to bottom. Who's going to win? Who's going to fall out? Will there be three teams from this division in the playoffs? Who knows? We'll be breaking down the draft and the off-season moves as well. Won't want to miss this one.
And just ladies, thanks for holding me down at the roundtable like we normally do every Friday evening. Give me a plug and a close out as we get up out of the kitchen.
Well, I think you guys should skip that division tomorrow, being that it's meaningless and doesn't make any difference. So with that being said, it's been real. I see you when I see you. Hopefully you guys change your mind and talk about, like, maybe a ballerina dancing or something.
See, this is what happens when you get San Francisco 49ers fans and they get mad about things that go down in the kitchen. We already did the NFC West. You missed your time to talk about Moss, VD, Frank G. The list goes on and on. Now it's our time, man. But check us out 7 days a week. We stay busy. In the next 30 minutes, we got the Friday Night Food Fight, talking that MMA love around this kitchen. I'll be back on air, like Bro said, tomorrow afternoon, talking that NFC North. One word, Megatron. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, I don't care what nobody say about Green Bay. My boys are still here. Now you know.
Got me staring. and your fiends leaning like a kickstand. I said, my brother, for your mother, man. For them blocks and them dead presidents wrapped in rubber bands. Shotty with pistol grips that'll rip through shit. I hate a prick, I kill his bitch and make him hit the ditch. Knee fuck, keep something on me and send a clip. Cause I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. And I can show you how to do this shit. Get you straight and get your cake right. Let a smoker test your weight before you take it to the plate. Rock it down, stuff the shit in 5-8, early and not late. Don't be making no mistakes, put it out and then you bring it back straight. There's more money to make.
These bucks and full of fact, and all I need is one reason just to pull this burner. Cause y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. These bucks and full of fact, and all I need is one reason just to pull this bracket out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma squeeze my cannon out.
Young gunner, just another victim of the ghetto, nigga. Post and pivot and distribute the work. My pop broke his pivot, got addicted to work. Man, they say it's a shame, but as they say, it's a game. I made my way through the game. Rowdy Lord Youngin' with that snotty nose youngin'. Everybody Lord Youngin'. The only youngin' now huggin' that pavement for paper. They was shovelin' payments for neighbors. I never made it to them 5-on-5. They was playin' live, I was tryna stay live. Tryna stay alive. Mom's workin' 11:30, the curfew, I was tryna stay the 5. Hoping them quarters stay at 5 while I'm killing. They can't stop me before the day arrive. I be copping again. So fuck a day job while I'm dealing. They ain't stopping me straight from the center to state property.
Young Chris and full of fact, and all I need is one reason just to pull this burner. Cause y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. Young Chris and full of fact, and all I need is one reason just to pull this fraction out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I don't squeeze my can out.
Up next, I'm gone.